Did you just say I had an hour? Well, greetings from Pine Bush Bible Camp. It's great to be here with you all. It's been a great summer. And I would just like to announce to you all that you have many new brothers and sisters in the Lord as of this summer. Quite a few dozen came to know the Lord up at camp. And they're now in the family. They're our brothers and our sisters. We haven't met all of them yet, especially you all, but one day you will. And so just praise the Lord for the ministry that goes on there at Pine Bush Bible Camp and that the joy there is of seeing new young children come into the family. So right now it's a world of difference up there than it was a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, hundreds of people and kids up there. Not much privacy, not much quiet. And when I go back up tonight, it'll be just me. 70 to 80 acres, all to myself. It's opposite extremes. It's just crazy. But both worlds are nice. It's nice to have both. So it's been a great summer up at camp. So greetings from Pine Bush. I've been praying for you all, and many by name, which I know, and as a group here. And I'm really excited about this day and what the Lord's going to do. The last time I was with you, a little while ago, and we talked about the redemption of souls and how costly it is to redeem souls. It's a very expensive price, and it was kind of interesting because we looked at that word costly. The redemption of souls is costly, and we saw that that word also has the idea of being heavy. The redemption of souls is heavy. And what was very neat to see about that is because when we go to the New Testament and we see the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says he became sorrowful and deeply distressed, and we look at those words, we understand that it means that he was in heaviness and that he was full of heaviness. And so we put the two together and we realize he was already feeling the great weight of the souls of mankind. And they were pressing on him, and he was full of heaviness, and he was in heaviness, and they were pressing on him. No wonder it was called Gethsemane, which means oil press. And the weight of the souls of mankind were weighing on him and pressing him, so much so that the blood was just pressed right out. And it came out like sweat, great drops of blood. It pressed on him. The weight was incredible. And he was the only one that could bear that weight. We couldn't redeem our souls. I couldn't redeem yours. You couldn't redeem mine. It was the only way. He was the only one who could pay the price. The only one who could bear that weight. And we looked at the fact that if a man wants to redeem his own soul, what's it going to take? What's it going to take if a man, woman decides, no, I don't need you, Lord Jesus, to bear the weight for me, to pay the price for me. I want to do it on my own. But what's that going to take? And we looked at it, the place is the lake of fire. And the length of time is eternity. And so we understand by that that it can't be paid. The weight can't be borne away. Eternity of suffering is not long enough. It's not long enough to bear away one soul. It's not like God would ever come to someone in the lake of fire and say, your time is up. You've done it. You've accomplished it. You've redeemed your soul. It just doesn't happen. Thankfully, we know the Savior, right? And so the psalmist says, but God will redeem my soul. And we rejoice in that. We came this morning and we remembered suffering and a death, and yet there was joy in our hearts. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord, because God will redeem my soul. We need it away. We need it away. We can't redeem our own soul. And so praise God for his indescribable gift. And our souls have been redeemed. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we would just put our eyes on you. We want to hear from your word, and we want your spirit to move us and to change us and to draw us closer to you. Please teach us. You are our teacher. And so we look to you and ask you to bless our time. And we pray these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. You ever had trouble understanding things? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. And if I could get a brother to stand up and read, I wasn't thinking. I had these verses to hand out, but I've got a couple verses. If you feel inclined, brother, to stand up and read, that would be great. Our first passage will be Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 17. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 17. Thanks. So here goes the command out from the Lord Jesus, hear and understand. And then Peter answers and says, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Now turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and another brother would stand and read John chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. John chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. Okay, so have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? How can you say? How can you say? Ever have a problem understanding things? Courtroom scenes with all their legal talk and conversation can be kind of confusing sometimes. This is true. It's really happened. It was a true dialogue that took place in a courtroom, and it was recorded by the Journal of Court Reporting. The attorney gets up and he's talking and he's asking questions, and this is one of the questions he asks. When he went, had you gone, and had she, if she wanted to and were able, for the time being, excluding all the restraints on her not to go, gone also, would he have brought you, meaning you and she, with him to the station? The other attorney gets up and says, objection, that question should be taken out and shot. What a confusing question. Some things are really hard to understand. How about this? A correction printed in the Canadian newspaper. The Ottawa Citizen and Southern News wish to apologize for our apology to Mark Stain. In correcting the incorrect statements about Mr. Stain, published October 15, we incorrectly published the incorrect correction. We accept and regret that our original regrets were unacceptable, and we apologize to Mr. Stain for any distress caused by our previous apology. Some things are really hard to understand, right? Trying to figure them out. What in the world's going on there? But does it not seem to you that the disciples took a lack of understanding to a whole another level? I mean, time and again, it just seemed like they weren't getting it. Remember this story? Now when the disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? And so here this seems like a simple truth. He's trying to tell them, listen, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the teaching. And so they're scratching their heads and like, he's mad at us because we didn't bring any bread. And this was not too long after the feeding of the 5,000. And so the Lord says, do you not yet understand? It seemed like a relatively simple truth that wasn't getting through to them. This is a true story too. A woman waited impatiently for a new sofa to be delivered to her home. When it at last arrived, she was horrified at its condition. She complained to a customer service representative on the phone. The front is streaked, two pillows are missing, and there's a small rip on one arm. After listening to this report, the rep asked, "Well, other than that, are you pleased with the sofa?" A simple truth. Just having trouble getting it through. Having trouble getting simple truths through. Some of the hardest things the disciples had trouble understanding were the words of Jesus to them concerning his death, his resurrection, his departure, and of this talk of a comforter coming. They simply knew that the Lord was going to leave them and that they couldn't go with him. Grief filled their hearts. It just filled them right up, grief did, and it was controlling them. Jesus tried to tell them, "Let not your heart be troubled." He spoke to them of a comforter coming, but they didn't know how to grasp that. He spoke to them of his resurrection, but he could barely get them to understand that he was even going to die. They didn't understand. Worse yet, a lot of times they didn't believe. He taught them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. 3 days came, where were they? There was no one at the tomb, especially the disciples, waiting expectantly, waiting for the Son to show up. They just didn't understand. The poor disciples, they walked with Jesus, they talked with him, they listened to him, they watched him, they ate with him, they slept alongside of him, they served right beside him, but they really didn't have a good understanding about who he was and what was going on. They so severely lacked understanding, and they just didn't get what was going on. There's a family in the Yonkers Assembly named the O'Connors, and when their kids were young, they lived in an area without any hills or mountains. Now, upon their first move, they were passing a park where there are some beautiful rolling hills. So Mike and Marita pulled over the moving truck, and they explained to their children how when they were young, they used to roll down the hill. So they urged their kids to try this. You know, go up to the hill, lay down, and roll down it. So the kids, up they went, and down they rolled. Unfortunately, at the bottom of the hill, there's all these nests of red ants. So the children rolled right into them. They jumped to their feet and began to yelp. Mike and Marita quickly rushed over and began to help smack and swat the body flies, the ants, and taking off their shirts and socks and shoes. And suddenly it dawned on Marita how this appeared to others who were nearby. Here are two adults hitting and smacking kids and taking their clothes off of them. Well, from another perspective, people wouldn't know what was going on. What's happening over there? And the poor disciples, they're watching Jesus. They're listening to him. They're walking with him. They're talking with him. They didn't really know what was going on, though. Jesus said he was going to leave them and prepare a place for them. He said it was to their advantage. That must have struck him funny. He said it was to their advantage that he go away. He said he was going to send a helper, a comforter, but all they found in their heart was confusion and sorrow. Here's the real kicker, though. Their lack of understanding in all these things was about to be changed by one of the very things they didn't understand. Their lack of understanding in all these things was about to be changed by one of the very things they didn't understand. The Comforter. The Comforter was coming. They didn't understand that, but he was going to come and help them to understand not only who he was, but all the other things. Jesus was going away so that the Holy Spirit could come. For Jesus knows that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into all things pertaining to God. Jesus told his disciples this. He said to them, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I have said to you." Isn't that interesting? He said to them also, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit was going to bear witness of Jesus Christ and enable them to know him. They were going to get a chance to know Jesus, to understand the things that pertain to him. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Oh, glorious future for the disciples. He was going to come to them. He was going to manifest himself to them, reveal himself to them through his Spirit. They would actually come, yes, the disciples who walked with him and talked with him and saw him do all these things, they would actually come to know him, to really know him. They would actually come to have understanding, to know Jesus, to have understanding. While Jesus walked with them, the disciples just did not have such a wonderful opportunity as this. We're in John chapter 14. Let's look at verses 16 to 17. If another brother would like to stand and read for us. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Okay, so we have this truth here. He's saying he dwells with you. And we know sometimes in the Old Testament he came upon people, but this is something new. He is going to be in you all. He's going to be in you all. He's going to be in you. But he wasn't there at the time. He wasn't in them at the time. The Spirit of God was not in them. The Bible tells us, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if, I know Diego a little bit, you know, I know a little bit about him, I know some facts about him, I know his name and a few things. But the person of Diego, everything that makes him up, his spirit, his passions, his thoughts, his, everything that's about him, I can't really understand him to that level that he understands himself. But now if his spirit were to come and be in me, then I'd really have a great opportunity to know Diego, to understand Diego. And so the same thing applies to God. We just can't really know God and understand God unless he gives us his spirit. And so with his spirit, there is true understanding and there's true knowledge of the person of God and of the things that concern him. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 12. John chapter 16 and verse 12. Look what the Lord says to his disciples. He says, I still have many things to say to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And it carries this idea that they cannot bear it so far as their understanding and their receiving of them is concerned. The Lord wants to tell them more. He's got so much more to say. There's so much more he wants to reveal about himself, the wonderful things of God. But they can't bear it now. The Spirit of God is not in them. They cannot bear these things now. These things will be spoken. These things will be revealed. The Spirit of God must come first. Because look at what it goes on to say. We'll read that verse again. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. And Jesus would love to tell them more. He would love to tell them more. They were unable to understand and receive these things, but a time was coming when the Spirit of God would be in them and they would be able to understand. The Holy Spirit will declare to them the things of the Lord Jesus, and they will know him. they will know him. They will have the very real opportunity to understand the things of God. And does this not apply to us? Does this not apply to us? We have the Spirit of the living God in us. I'm going to say that again. We have within us the Spirit of the living God. Are you a child of God? Then his Spirit is in you. And in 1 John, let's turn there. 1 John. This is what's happened to my 1 John. The pages become a little worn. I was down at one of the buildings at the camp, and I was doing some studying, and I went to turn to 1 John, and it was missing. And I knew what had happened. I was sitting on the front porch, and I went into the house for something, and the wind came and blew it away. So Rich was up there. He was working on. I kind of threw him when I came out, and I said to him, "Hey, Rich, have you seen 1 John?" He said, "What?" I said, "I'm looking for 1 John. Have you seen it?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, luckily I found. I was so glad. I'm walking up and down the road looking for this piece of paper blowing in the wind. Who knows where it could have been? But it was not too far from the porch. I was very glad." But we look in chapter 2, and it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And in verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. That is, the same anointing teaches you concerning all things." Now, this doesn't mean we don't need teachers. God has given some to be teachers. I am so burdened with this. He can teach us on our own. God is not constrained to teach us something by a teacher other than the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit within us, because we are a child of God, we can open up the Scriptures, we can read it, and we can understand. We have an anointing from the Holy One, and he teaches us all things. And yes, he does use teachers, but we need to be empowered to turn to the Scriptures and be able to realize that I am a child of God, I have the Spirit of God in me, and when I open up the Scriptures, I can understand them. I can read them, and I can understand them. I don't necessarily need someone to teach me outside of the Spirit. Even the Lord Jesus said, "For one is your teacher, and we are all brethren." God is our teacher, and he does use others to teach us, no doubt. But let us not feel constrained that I cannot learn anything unless someone else teach me. We can open up the Word of God, you and I, and we can learn. In this age, it's getting more and more popular that no one can get up here and teach unless they've been to seminary, unless they've been highly educated. And that totally goes against the individual priesthood of every believer. The gifts that God has given don't require a seminary training. We have been anointed with the Spirit of God. And how blessed the fellowship that we have here on Sunday mornings when any brother can stand up and share what's on his heart. Not that there isn't a place for teaching, not that there isn't a place for schooling, but that we should limit the Spirit of God by saying, "I was just informed. There's a, I don't even know if I can call it an assembly anymore, but I was told that they've never heard me preach. They don't really even know me, but through the grapevine I heard that because I haven't been to seminary, they're not going to invite me to speak there." What a shame. Who are we looking to hear from? You know, do we want to hear from God? Do we believe that the Spirit of God is the one who teaches us? How does that verse go? "It's not whom man commends that is approved, but whom God commended." Man puts the seal. You are able to teach. You have been to seminary. You've done the classes. You've graduated. Now you can go out and teach. You know, this thing is turning into such a business. It's unbelievable. People say that they go into seminary. They go into train to be pastors and teachers because it's a good career choice. They're not looking for truth. They're looking for knowledge so that they can spout it out from a platform. It's a career choice. I've heard this. People have borne testimony. People have actually said this. Sorry, I get a little worked up, and I get a little Randy Amos in me too here. But anyways, I know this was a roundabout way to come to our topic this morning of understanding the Word, but we need to understand that the primary reason that we have any understanding of the person of God and of the things of God that that concern God is because we have the Spirit of God. And I got to get an amen for that. Amen? We need to understand the primary reason that we have any understanding of the person of God and of the things that concern God is because we have the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And although we may look at the disciples and find ourselves a bit bewildered at what would seem like their idiocy, we need to come to terms with the fact that without the Spirit of God, we're just as inept as they are. We're just as inept as they are. After drilling his platoon in the hot sun, the sergeant barked out a final order. "All right, you idiots, fall out." The men dispersed, but one rookie stood firm. The rookie smiled at the sergeant and said, "There sure were a lot of them, weren't there, Sergeant?" Only the idiots fell out. One stood firm. Yes, there are a lot of idiots or people who are ignorant and dumb and do not understand the things of the Lord or the Lord himself. And brothers and sisters, if it were not for the Spirit of God within us, we'd have to fall out as well. Without the Spirit, we would have no understanding at all. Paul tells the Ephesians, "God has made known to me the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit." He told the Corinthians that the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And we have the Spirit in us. And the Spirit wants to search even the deep things of God, the depths of God, driving within each and every child of God, come, learn, explore, understand God and the things of God. If you are a child of God, the Spirit no doubt wants to do this. And if you choose the good thing, it will not be taken from you. It will not be taken from you. You'll be given more. The desire of your heart becomes to know more about God and to understand about God. He will give you the desire of your heart. You will understand. He is a rewarder of those who diligently search Him, diligently seek Him. It's by the Spirit of God that we even have access to God the Father. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through Him we have access by one Spirit to the Father." So, the coming of the Holy Spirit is going to make it possible for them and us to have a close, intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus and with our Father. He's going to make it possible for the disciples and us to really know the Lord and to really understand the things that He says and the things that concern Him. Maybe you think this statement's a little funny, but in order to understand the Word, we need to understand something. That's our topic, is understanding the Word. And in order to understand the Word, we really need to understand something. Understanding is something given. Understanding is something given. It is something given by a person. The person who is giving understanding is none other than God our Father, from whom the Holy Spirit proceeds. It's given. It's given. Paul said to the Ephesians, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may understand. You know what's cool about enlightenment? Enlightenment doesn't just, it's not like it shines on a light on things that weren't there before. Enlightenment has the idea of shining the light on the things that are already there. Enlightenment has that you come to know things that are in existence and around you that are there that you can't see. The light just shows the things that are already there. It's not like these things are put there. They're already there. And enlightenment just reveals them. We've been given a lot. Paul said to the Corinthians, we are already full. We are already rich. And enlightenment will show us just how full we are, just how rich we are. And the Spirit of God is pressing, trying to take us, lead us, teach us, and show us everything that we have in God and about Him. May give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And you remember Solomon's request before God, right? Therefore give. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart. Solomon recognized that understanding came from God. And that if he was going to have any understanding at all, it needed to be given to him. So God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding. I don't know about you guys, but like my Christmas list, you know, exceedingly great understanding. Has put that down on my list. What a great thing. Exceedingly great understanding. And remember Bezalel? Really? Does anybody remember? If I was sitting there, if I hadn't been doing this study, I would have known what the guy was about, but I wouldn't have known his name. Does somebody really know Bezalel? Does anybody remember? Yes? Yes. Excellent. Yeah, this guy is something else. If any of you guys are artists here, check this out. He was the one, he lived back in Moses' time, and he was the primary individual for making things of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood for the tabernacle. The scripture tells us that God filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. So this guy was just totally endowed with the ability to be creative with gold and silver and wood and stone, and had understanding, and he could see things and comprehend how to make things and what it took, and he had great understanding, and it was just given to him. It was just given to him. I mean, I do painting and I write some poetry, and just the idea that getting closer to God, and He is the author of so many things, and one of the things, He's the author of creativity. I mean, if you want to see someone who's creative, just look to God. So if you have a creative bone in you, all the more drive to draw closer to Him. He gave Bezalel understanding. Understanding is something given. It's something given by God our Father, from whom the Holy Spirit proceeds. It is He, the Spirit of God, that beautiful person in the Godhead, who desires to take us into the deep things of God. And it's by Him that we understand the things that have been freely given to us by God. Get that? Things that have been freely given, they've already been given to us. We are so rich. We are so full. We want to understand the things that we've already been given. So when considering understanding the Scriptures, how is our relationship with the One who is a giver of understanding? That's the big question for today. In understanding the Scriptures, how is our relationship with the One who is a giver of understanding? Brothers and sisters, I think this is the number one question that needs to be asked when considering how we might have a good and increasing understanding of the Scriptures. How is our relationship with the giver of understanding? How is our relationship with the Spirit of God within us? I'm telling you, it is of vital importance that we understand this. Our ability to understand the Word of God is based heavily on the health of our relationship with God, and specifically with the Spirit of God. Can we expect to understand the things of God when we're continually grieving the Spirit? Much more, can we expect to understand the things of God and the things that have been freely given to us by God if we've quenched the Spirit? We may accumulate knowledge. There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of knowledge about the Scriptures, and they can play it off real well that they understand, but in truth, they don't understand. They don't understand. It's probably true that even in the churches and even maybe in the assemblies that there are individuals who have a lot of knowledge, but because their relationship with the Lord, their relationship specifically with the Spirit of God is damaged, they've fallen short in understanding. The Spirit of God has been given to us, placed in us, and therefore we have the wonderful capability of increasing in the knowledge of God and growing in our understanding of Him and of the things that concern Him. The Spirit of God has been given to us that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And we can understand the Scriptures. We can understand the Scriptures. How is our relationship with the Spirit of God? You know, if we have a problem understanding the things of God, let us consider this. If we have a problem, it is good for us to consider how we might remedy it. And this might be how we might need to remedy it. How is our relationship with the giver of understanding? Sit down, think about it. Figure out a way to resolve the problem. And this may be the way. As an elderly man, he had a problem. He sat down to think about how he might resolve this problem. Turns out this guy was harassed by the taunts of the neighborhood children, so he devised this plan, right? He offered to pay them $1 each if they would return on Tuesday and yell their insults again. The children did so eagerly, and they received the money. Then he told them he would pay only 25 cents on Wednesday. When they returned, insulted him again, and collected their quarters, he informed them that Thursday's rate would be just a penny. Forget it, they said. And they never taunted him again. Nice plan, right? It worked. He's using the noggin there. Forget it. Totally just missed the fact that they've been played. Totally played. Let us stop. Consider our problem. And devise a way that we might remedy it. It is our problem with understanding the Scriptures due to our poor relationship with the Spirit of God. We need to see that understanding is possible with the Spirit of God. That God the Father, through His Spirit, gives us understanding. So when we look to understand the things we read in the Scriptures, may we be reminded of where our relationship is with the giver of understanding. And let us not think that we shall understand much if in our heart we know that we have sinned and that we have grieved the Spirit of God, or worse yet, that we have quenched the Spirit of God. And James would say, he would call that person a double-minded man and say, you know what? Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. There's no way to get understanding from the giver of understanding when we've grieved the Spirit, when we've quenched the Spirit. Let not that man suppose he'll get anything. God is a giver of understanding. And when the disciples walked with the Lord, they gave us a clear picture of what it would be like to try and understand spiritual things without the Spirit of God. But God gave them and us His Spirit. And we might truly come to understand Him, the things that concern Him. He gave us His Spirit and even implanted His Word in us. You know, that's what James says too. It's a big thing to swallow if you want something to chew on. You know, James says, receive with meekness the implanted Word. The implanted Word. And He desires that we be mature and understanding and not babes. He desires that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He longs to give us further understanding and have us go beyond the elementary principles of Christ. Do you realize what it is the Spirit of God wants to lead us into? We can't wait to see Jesus. We can't wait to see Him as He is, right? Let us answer the call to get to know Him better until then. I mean, when the Lord comes, it says some will be ashamed. I want to recognize, I mean, not just recognize Him, but know Him. That I may know Him, says Paul, right? I get a little perturbed by it. One of the songs that somebody sang, I think maybe it was Steve Green, sorry, if anybody's a Steve Green fan. But he says, and we may even sing this idea of knowing the Lord Jesus by the marks in His hand. Seriously, think about that. No, that's not Him. Wait, let me see your hands. No, that's not Him. Oh, there he is. I know Him by the marks in His hands. There He is. There's going to be no mistaking who Jesus is. We are not going to need to look at His hands and His feet to understand who He is. There will be no mistaking who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I have it a hard time imagining in my head that I'm going to be taking my eyes off of His face for 1 second to look at His hands or His feet. But to recognize Him is one thing, but to know Him, when we see Him, that we know Him, Ralph, I've been talking to him, and just he knows the Lord, you know? You can just hear it in his prayer. To know him, not just to speak to him, but to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is just longing, desiring to take each one of us further and further and further. We've only tasted and seen that the Lord is good. There's like a whole meal. It's like a whole meal, whole buffet. Just go. Follow the Spirit. But how is our relationship with the giver of understanding? You know, in closing, you remember that question that the Lord asked Philip? He said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? You know, he asked that question of someone who didn't have the Spirit of God in him. We have the Spirit of God in us. Is that a question that's going to be given to us? Have I been with you so long that you have not known me? We have no excuse, right? Maybe Philip had, oh, come on, Lord, I didn't have the Spirit. How am I supposed to know? We have the Spirit of God. There's no excuse, right? He's longing to guide us and to teach us and to help us to understand the Word. And we can understand it. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do just bow before you and give you praise and thanks for imparting your Spirit to us. Praise be unto you for this. The angels look at us in wonderment. How in the world is the Spirit of God within them? It amazes us if we were to think about it. We don't even know how to comprehend. And Lord, you tell us that you are there as well and that you and the Father will come and make your home in us. It just blows us away that you are in us. Your Spirit is in us. He longs to guide us into your deep things and to teach us even one-on-one that we can sit at your feet and learn one-on-one and how healthy this is for us to do before we turn to the commentary, before we look at the notes at the bottom of our Bible, just to let the Spirit teach us. And maybe we can check and look at the notes. But let us give you an opportunity to teach us. We have an anointing, Father, don't we? The Spirit of God who teaches us all things. May we learn and sit at your feet and understand greater things about you than the disciples, when they walked with you, could ever have known. We just bow before you, asking these things, if your grace will permit it. I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. I love coming here, and I thank you so much for them. Bless them, and bless the rest of this day, we pray. Lord Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen.